Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Unipart India Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the call over to Ms. Monali Jain from Go India Advisors for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q4 FY25 earnings call of Unipart India Limited. We have on the call Mr. Paramjit Soni, Promoter, Executive Director, and Vice Chairman, Ms. Tanushree Bagrodia, Director and Group Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Rohit Maheshwari, Group Chief Financial Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I will now request Mr. Soni to take us through the financials and the business updates, subsequent to which we will open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monali, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings call of Unipart India Limited. As a trusted partner to leading OEMs, we maintain a strong presence across the evolving landscape of the global agriculture and construction equipment supply chains. As we enter FY26, we do so with strategic clarity and a long-term perspective. The industry is navigating a period of significant transformation, perhaps the most notable in recent decades. Encouraging early signs of recovery were visible in our Q4 FY25 performance, and we are cautiously optimistic that momentum may gradually build in the second half of FY26. Our forward strategy continues to build on three pillars: deepening integration with our customers, driving operational efficiency, and expanding our nearshoring footprint in a measured and effective manner. To give you a sense of the industry overview and the business performance, in Q4 FY25, the off-highway industry experienced year-over-year decline, with the impact more pronounced in the agricultural sector than in construction. Our performance followed these broader trends. Construction industry sales declined in the low double digit during the period from April 2024 to March 2025. Rising interest rates and economic uncertainties led to a more cautious approach to new projects and new equipment purchases, with the most significant impact observed in the North American markets. At Unipart, this translated into requiring agility and a keen focus on inventory management and OEM production schedules. Driven by a strategy centered on fostering stronger customer ties, we achieved growth within the segment by expanding our engagement with the largest construction industry customer. The outlook for this segment is expected to remain flat in the near term. Despite that, we expect growth driven by new business awards across America and Europe. The global large agricultural equipment market was the most impacted sector in FY25. Farmers in key regions, including North America and Europe, continue to face increased input costs, fluctuating commodity prices, and higher interest rates. This led to our customers reporting high double-digit year-on-year sales decline and inventory levels being reduced by the dealers. However, the pace of decline moderated in Q4, indicating an emergence from the bottom in FY26. The pressures on farm income in some of the key Western markets are likely to persist in the near term, suggesting a continued cautious approach to new investment in equipment. While we expect the Americas to remain under pressure with continued high double-digit declines, Europe and Asia-Pacific are projected to remain flat or see a contraction of up to 5%. Unipart's performance in this segment was aligned with broader industry trends, with Q4 showing signs of improvement. Industry headwinds notwithstanding, we established a new partnership with a European tractor OEM, which will add to the growth in the current fiscal. In the small agricultural segment, Indian tractor demand benefited from a strong monsoon and harvest, ending the fiscal largely flat in terms of unit sales. Globally, however, the segment declined in the double digits. Despite these headwinds, Uniparts outperformed the broader market thanks to our strong positioning. Looking ahead, although global industry demand is expected to range between flat to a 5% decline, with the American market expected to decline by 5 to 10%, Uniparts is poised to grow in FY26, supported by sustained market share in India and continued expansion in Asia-Pacific. Our aftermarket business, a crucial area for us, delivered robust results in FY2025 as farmers focused on maintaining and upgrading their equipment. We continue to expand our footprint in North America and Europe, and we remain optimistic about further consolidating our position in FY2026. Our engagement with customers remains strong, and the pipeline for new business across three-point linkage and our PMP divisions continues to be healthy. We're also making steady progress on our geographic diversification strategy, helping us manage regional demand fluctuations more effectively. Our entry into Mexico is progressing as planned, offering a new opportunity for the company's growth. We are continuously enhancing our manufacturing processes and supply chain resilience to ensure that we have the most suited technologies to service our customers and can adapt to the changing market dynamic and potential disruptions with speed. Our focus on sustainability has only strengthened in FY2025 with the addition of solar power and new water treatment technologies being implemented across our factories. This is an initiative that we are determined to continue along with our CSR initiatives that enable our teams to contribute to causes that they believe in. On the financial front, the company has reduced inventory year on year and continues to maintain a healthy position with net debt-free balance sheet. As of the end of FY2025, group net cash stands at approximately 194 crores. We expect to sustain free cash flow generation at levels consistent with FY2025 on a quarterly basis. With that, I will now hand over to Rohit Maheshwari to take you through the financial performance for Q4 and the full year FY2025. Rohit, over to you.
Thank you, sir, and good evening all. I would like to share the following financial and business highlights of the quarter ending 31st March 2025. Revenue from operation for Q4 was INR 253 crores, which is an increase of 21.43% quarter-on-quarter and decline of 12.8% year-on-year. EBITDA of Q4 at rupees 41.64 crores was 11.7% higher than Q3 FY25 and lower by 19% year-on-year. Operating cash flow generation for Q4 was rupees 30 crores. The net working capital, comprising of big three elements of inventory, account receivable and account payable, as number of days of KTM revenue from operations stood at 154 days as on 31st March 2025. Over working capital during the quarter reduced by approximately rupees 7 crores. Uniparts balance sheet continued to be net debt free with the group net cash position at approximately rupees 194 crores at the end of March 2025. Cash outgo towards capex commitment during the quarter has been approximately rupees 6.5 crores. Total new business award value during the trailing 12 months have been approximately rupees 195 crores. That is analyzed potential value of underlying projects. The company paid a dividend of rupees 33.85 crores in Q4. Dividend payment till date in FY2025 was rupees 64.31 crores, which was 73% of the PAT for the year. Inflationary pressure on operating costs remains in the midterm to be partially mitigated through operating efficiencies. Macro concerns over global economic slowdown, geopolitical uncertainties, evolving global trade tariff environment, impact of persistent inflation as well as elevated interest rate continues to remain key monitorables. With this summary, I would like to hand over the conference back to the moderator for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while we poll for questions. The first question comes from the line of Rushabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is related to the new business of approximately 200 crores was mainly on the construction side of the business. So my question is whether the business is from existing clients or you have added more relationships in various geographies of the world.
Hi, Rishabh. This is Tanushree Baklodia. And thank you for your question and thank you for your participation as well. Rishabh, the new business that we've got is across our segments. It's across construction, large ag, small ag. In fact, you know, in the last few calls, we've been saying that large ag is a segment where we've been wanting to sort of dig deeper and get more business. So going forward, the new business that comes in is coming from large ag. Going forward, the new business that is also coming is coming from geographic diversification. We continue to you know, live up to what we've been speaking about. We've actually got new business in Asia Pacific, and I think even in the small ag business, we've got new business. The 200 crores of past business that we've been talking about has also come from across sectors and industry segments that we cater to and geographies. And of course, aftermarket remains a key part of our entire strategy, where in FY25, we actually grew 20% year on year, and we continue to see new business growth in this segment as well.
So since we are on the previous calls, I had one question that in the previous calls we said that you were trying to expand horizontally with your clients. So have we been successful in doing that?
Absolutely, Rushabh. I think our strategy remains, right, that we enter customer horizontally, grow with them, and horizontal growth is that we supply to various divisions that they may have, various geographies that they may have. And in that light, we have, you know, we have won new business with the customers in the construction space. We've won business in the small ag space, and we have added new customers as well.
My next question is, I just wanted to know that, as you say, that the construction side of the market is still soft, but you are adding or rather horizontally expanding in that side of the market itself. So in various geographies also. So just wanted your thoughts about the process. How have you been adding? Like what additions you have made in the past 3 years?
So, Rishabh, if you see, we've spoken about this in our earlier calls, right? That in the last 3 years, we've actually expanded significantly with Caterpillar, which is the largest construction equipment manufacturer in the world. We've also mentioned that we won one new business where, you know, the business has actually done better than when we were even looking at the numbers when the business was awarded. And I think what that has basically led to is it's given confidence to the customer on how we can support them, and hence we've been able to grow with Caterpillar. I think we've also been candid in sharing that, you know, with customers such as Bobcat, for example, we are growing when it's, you know, again, we've spoken about this in the past. Bobcat decided that they were moving to Mexico, and, you know, we are also setting up in Mexico to be able to service and bring our nearshoring model to Mexico to be able to service some of these customers. And I think all of these activities, along with the fact that customers do recognize us for our engineering capabilities and the distribution model that we have, they've led to business growth with them. And the last aspect also is that, you know, we've been focusing on diversifying geographically, and that's the third element, how we've grown over the years. In fact, that's also led to us winning some new business in Europe for FY26.
My last question is, in the previous call, you mentioned that above 70 horsepower, your market share is about 8 to 9%. Over the 5 years, it could be 20-25% of the market share. So completely with you on this goal of yours. So just wanted to know, what steps are you taking to achieve this goal in the next couple of years?
So Rushabh, this has been something that we've been fairly focused on. The teams have been working closely with customers to see where we can partner with them. And on this front, we've won one order with a large European OEM, right, which is contributing significantly to the new business that we are looking really excited to execute in FY26. Similarly, with some of our other customers, we've been speaking, and we are hopeful of getting you know, similar amounts of business. But overall, in the large ag space for FY26, we are seeing a good growth coming from new business. And I think it would only be fair to say that, you know, the efforts continue on this front.
Fine, man. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you, Rishabh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Viraj from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First, just a clarification. You said 200 crores of new business. So I think in the past, we talked about annual pipeline of new business.
Viraj,
to be
I do apologize to interrupt you there, but your audio is not clear.
Is it better now? Hello?
Yes,
hello.
Yeah, go on, Viraj.
Yeah, so first is just a clarification. I think in the past, we used to talk about annual new business wins, you know, the pipeline which we want to be roughly around 300 crores. So this 200 crores is on the top of it, or...
your voice is not clear still. It's very muffled, so it's difficult to understand you.
Is it better now? Hello?
Yes, it's a little better.
Viraj?
Yeah. Yeah, so question is more on the clarification. You know, in the past, we used to talk about the new business which we want, you know, the annual potential to be roughly around 300 crores. So, you know, the 200 crores business when we talked about is just a repetition of that, or it's incremental to the business win?
So Viraj, we talk about business that we are realizing over the last trailing 12 months, right? So this is this includes new additions that we keep doing. And when we are talking about those new additions, we are talking about 200 crores of new business coming through.
Okay, so in last 12 months, what will be the contribution from new business, no?
So like we say that in the last 12 months, new business would be roughly about 195 crore on an annualized basis.
Okay. Second question is, you know, post the tariff, you know, announcement in US, given that we have a dual sourcing model, so if you could just give some perspective, where does that put us in terms of, say, so how does that, so how are customers looking at us in terms of our position? What are they saying? Any color you can give, you know?
Sure, that's an interesting question, Viraj. I think before we get into tariffs, I think let's look at what the customers have been doing over the last many years, right? I think a number of our customers have been doubling down on their India teams and on their India sourcing. pre-tariffs, a number of our large customers have reiterated in various forums that, you know, they would like to increase and double in some cases their sourcing from India. Post-tariffs, I think that stance still remains. I think this is you know, systemically something customers are wanting to do, which is to de-risk the supply chain. I think as the tariffs have come in in two buckets. One is what got announced in March 25, which was tariffs on the steel and aluminium product imported into the U.S. And the second one was that got announced in April, which was a reciprocal tariff. We have worked very closely with our customers on this since then. And we have reached a position where we have an agreement with most of our customers today on how this is going to be, on how this is going to impact them and us. And I think we are looking at being a P&L neutral from a tariff perspective.
But given the, so if I talk about 3PL or PMP, you know, in 3PL we have players operating out of, you know, major players operating out of Europe. While in PEP, you have competition both from China and other regions. So from a relative position point of view, where does post-tariff, where does Uniparts place, you know, and in that perspective, what is the communication we are getting from our customers?
I'm glad you asked this question. I was hoping that this would be your follow-up. So I think it places Uniparts fairly uniquely, right? Because today in our PMP business, we actually have dual shoring. We can manufacture in the U.S. for customers. I think given the tariffs, given the benefit that India has, we do have opportunities that have opened doors. And coupled with that is the fact that we do supply to them from, you know, locally. So there is nearshoring. And I think all of these put together gives us opportunities to be able to increase business with our customers. But bear in mind that, you know, while in the aftermarket, this can be more immediate with the OEMs. While this opportunity is there, there are approvals and processes that need to be completed, and they would need to be completed for us to be able to see the reality of these opportunities in our P&L.
So how will pricing and margin really work in, you know, in this kind of a scenario? So our approach will be more focused on a blended margin rather than where it's manufactured or what channel delivery it is, or, you know, how are we approaching this?
So, Rishabh, I don't think our approach has changed. We are looking at a best cost manufacturing solution from our customer perspective. So if it means that the best cost country post tariffs is the U.S., we will manufacture in the U.S. for our customer. India still has an advantage over China in terms of tariffs. And I think that story for us remains strong. And I think given that we are now moving into Mexico to be able to supply to their Mexican production, to that extent, that business is anyways delinked from the U.S. So I think the approach that we have doesn't change. I think it only strengthens or reiterates the strength of our business model, which is that we've always wanted to offer a best cost opportunity of manufacturing to our customer, and the dual shoring and the near shoring benefits that we bring to the customer.
Okay, just one last thing. I understand the environment is quite weak in the end industries, going through a tough phase, but in terms of the cost takeouts or initiatives in terms of further leaning the overall cost structure internally at Uniparts. Can you give some perspective what kind of a cost takeout or cost saving we have been able to get, or either in terms of BEP where is the break-even point now for us, say vis-a-vis 3 or 4 years back? So it kind of helps us also get a perspective when the cycle turns. We might also see parallelly to that degree, the gains on the efforts we have been making.
Rishabh, if you actually look at it, right, our gross margin levels haven't really changed year on year. FY24 to FY25, our gross margin levels remain fairly stable, except for a few decimal of percentage points. And if you then look at our fixed costs, you will actually see that our cost control has been fairly strong. This is a journey that we started and we've only built on, right? So throughout the year, we've been focusing on increasing efficiencies and containing costs where we could. And that is why despite, a 15% drop in the top line that we are seeing, we've been able to hold our EBITDA percentages. And we've been able to still have a healthy PAT percentage. So I think we are going to continue on that journey. And that's a commitment that we as management team and as an organization have to all our stakeholders.
Okay, I'll come back into you. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. First of all, again, question on tariff. So you said that it will be P&L neutral. So are the negotiations with the customers are over and you are not facing any margin pressure in the short term?
Yeah, so Sunil, with most of our customers, we've reached an agreement. What will happen is that there will be some working capital impact because of the tariff, because, we will pay and then collect subsequently from the customers, but it will be P&L neutral.
Okay, and second question is how much is the share of large agri in our total sales?
So large ag is roughly about in the high teens for us as a percentage of total business. It is about 16-17%.
And any new development on fabrication or hydraulic side so we can expand our TAM?
I think, Sunil, we've maintained that, these are two areas along with the PTOs that we will continue to focus on. On the fabrication side, we have our own facility that does what I'd call small to medium-sized fabrications, where we are picking up some traction with OEMs. And we are hoping that, the efforts that we are continuing to make in the aftermarket channels will also yield results. It's been slower than what we would have expected. But I think that's on the small and the medium-sized fabrication. And, as we continue to evaluate and look at opportunities, as something fructifies, we will inform the stakeholders. But we do continue to work on these opportunities.
Okay. And anything related to acquisitions which you had alluded in the earlier quarter calls?
Sunil, that's what I was referring to, that on the acquisition space, the power takeoff, hydraulics, and fabrication remain three product platforms that we are interested in. We continue to work on that. We continue to evaluate opportunities. But, acquisitions are fluid. Opportunities come and, they take time to evaluate, understand, etc. So as and when something happens and something is more concrete, which we can share, we will let the stakeholders know.
Okay. Good. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Parth Lahoti from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So first, my first question is, could you provide more detail on inorganic growth plans or potential acquisitions mentioned as a future growth driver. Are any specific markets or technologies being targeted?
Hi Parth. Us, ever since our IPO, we've maintained that there are three words. So currently we supply three-point linkage and precision machine parts. These are two verticals that we have. Since IPO, we have been saying that hydraulics, power takeoff, and fabrication are three platforms that we would like to enter into, and inorganic growth or acquisitions could be one way to get into these. We continue to evaluate opportunities, like I said, but like I said, you know, we spend time and effort on these, but acquisitions are fluid by the very nature that they are. So as and when there is more, something more concrete, the company and the management will inform the stakeholders.
Thank you. And my second question is, what progress has been made in expanding the company's offerings in synergistic verticals like PTOs, hydraulic cylinders, and fabrication? How do you see this contributing to revenue mix over the next 2 to 3 years?
So on the fabrication side, on the small and the mid fabrication, we set up our own facility, which is where, you know, with some of our OEM customers, we are beginning to get traction. It should start adding revenue in the next, let's say, 10 to 15 months time horizon. Some revenue has actually already started coming in also from the aftermarket, but the big bang that we are looking at is a little away. And on hydraulics, we don't have anything internally. Like I said, there we will look at inorganic, and as and when that happens, we will let you know. So that's where we stand.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So for FY26, what kind of growth can we expect in our top line, and can we expect the margins also to improve from a low of 14%, which I believe post listing were the lowest margins that we ever did last quarter?
Hi Madhur. Yes Madhur, that's the we've been making effort in winning new business because we've maintained that that's where growth is going to come from. So in FY26, we are looking at the mid-teens of top-line growth as we stand today. And of course, as the top-line comes in, the operating deleverage also starts to turn itself around and the margins should improve.
Great, ma'am. And madam, what kind of capex do we have for this year and the next year?
So, you know, typically our capex in the last sort of 3 years has been in the range of, let's say, about 30 to 40 crores. And this capex really goes towards, you know, investing in capabilities or balancing equipment that we may want to or need to buy. And that is what we are going to continue with. We've stated in the past that, you know, we'd like to keep our capex as 2.5% of our top line. And I think we continue with that unless it is a very compelling reason we need to invest.
Great, ma'am. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you, Madhur.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Shakhtar from Green Capital Single Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Nitin Shakhtar from the Green Capital Single Family Office. So, you know, my question is more as an investor rather than an analyst. Now, over the last 8 to 12 quarters, there is a declining trend.
Nitin, I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you come closer to the microphone? Your voice is a little feeble.
Okay. Sorry, so my question is more as an investor rather than an analyst. Is it clear now, the voice?
Thank you so much.
Okay. So there's a sort of a declining trend over the last eight, 12 quarters, which all of us are aware of. You know, earlier on, the EBITDA margins used to be 21%, PAT margins used to be 14%. So are you seeing any green shoots, any recovery, any counter-cyclical trends that are emerging for this year? Just wanted to get a sense of the, what the management feels about arresting the decline trend.
Sure, Nitin. Let me give you a little bit of perspective on that, right? And I think, in the opening remarks, Paramjit alluded to, actually, he described where the industry was in FY 2025, and let me tell you where we are seeing in FY 2026, segment by segment. The largest impact that we saw as an industry was in the large ag space, where the industry was down in double high digits, right? In the North American markets, we still think, this is where the industry is going to be in FY 2026, but Europe obviously looks better. Asia Pacific doesn't have large ag. And in this particular space, we actually have won a good order from a large European OEM, which then gives us that much more strength over and above what the market does. I think the real green shoots that we are seeing are in the small ag industry. So the small ag industry declined in FY 2025 by, you know, in the high teens or close to 20%. And this in America also is projected, if you listen to what our, or, you know, if we listen to what our customers are saying, because we hear from them and we see what the end industry is doing. So there we are seeing Americas are likely to be in the negative 5%-10% range, and the rest of the world will be flat to 5%. Now, small ag is where we have quite a stronghold. India is actually, in terms of the number of units, the largest producer of small tractors, right? And there we are very, very strong. We will grow in India. We have won business in Asia Pacific. So as Asia Pacific is growing, that growth will come to us, and we continue to maintain a strong position in America. So that's on the small ag business. The construction industry in FY 2025, again, saw a dip, you know, which was at about again in the high teens. And there we actually performed better because we continue to grow with customers. And in FY 2026, that industry is globally projected to be flat to a negative 5%. In this particular case, again, we have won new business both in the U.S. and in Europe. So we remain very optimistic and excited to execute these new orders. The aftermarket as a segment is largely Europe and U.S. for us, and that as a segment has been growing for us, and we will continue to grow in FY 2026. So yes, we've seen green shoots. Large ag still sees trouble, and the new business that we've won should help us grow in the mid-teens, as I said earlier.
So that includes Mexico, is what you've also pointed out, that you're going through customers there within the business of the customer, and that Mexico initiative is on track?
Yes. Mexico, our Mexico entry remains on track. In our earlier calls, we had said that January 26 is when we will start operations, and we are absolutely on track to commence that as of today.
Okay. So, my last question is there any thought on sort of infusing more young blood in some succession, which leads to more innovation and identifying new trends? Just some thoughts on the management. I mean, you were also brought in by the management with that thought, I'm assuming. So just some innovation trends on what people are thinking at Unipart.
So, Nitin, that's a very, very interesting question, and I'm laughing because I consider myself to be still very young. You know, yes, and but I think, no, you're right. I think there is a thought that we do have of seeing how we can bring new talent and younger talent into the workforce. In fact, if you actually see some of our colleagues in our U.S. business are very, very young they're youngsters. And I think when we are now talking about recruitment, even in India, we are looking at taking in younger blood. But having said that, I think one thing that I'd like to caution is we would like to energize our team, but with youth as well as the right experience to take us to the next level that we need to get to. So we need to strike that balance. But that's the effort. So we've just hired a new CHRO who comes with a great pedigree. He is relatively on the younger side, has a lot of hunger, a great addition to our senior leadership team. So I think that's the trajectory that we are going to be on.
Okay, great. Just wanted to compliment the management on two things. One is maintaining the healthy cash position, the prudent cash management, which obviously is leading to a high dividend payout ratio. That's one. And second is, I'm very impressed with your financial information page on the website. It's very clear, concise, and structured. And congratulations to Investor Relations and the company secretary for that. So that's all from my end, and all the best.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Nikunj Doshi from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, I'm sorry if this was answered earlier. I just joined a bit late. Just wanted to understand, since we are talking of mid-teens and higher-teen kind of growth for the current year, so can we expect quarter-on-quarter growth, or it will be a lumpy H2 kind of a scenario?
So I think, hi Nikunj, and thank you for the question. Nikunj, if you look at our quarter four result is better than quarter three. In our conference call on quarter three, we had already alluded to the fact that, you know, the bottom is potentially behind us. Yeah. I'd like to say that largely that looks true except for the large ag segment.
Okay.
The quarter four has been better. Quarter one for us should be similar to quarter four, but I think what we are expecting and what we hear from customers, you know, we speak to our large customers, John Deere, Caterpillar, Bobcat, Kubota, and what we hear from them is that second half of the year is where they are really going to see meaningful differences coming up, and really calendar year 26. So yes, we expect quarter one to be in line with quarter four, but the second half of the year is going to really see the green shoots of recovery taking shape.
And this Trump administration is going to decide on tariffs, say, in July. So are you seeing any pre-order or pre-buying happening in this quarter because of that, or inventory built up in US because of that, or... are you witnessing any of such phenomena?
Nikunj, you know, given our nearshoring model, we have been carrying inventory, which is the pre-tariff scenario, right? So that in any case gives us an edge. And like I was mentioning, we have reached an agreement with all our customers. So, you know, customers also realize that the sooner we understand where both of us stand, it's better for normalcy of business, because you can't keep buying for the entire year. At some point in time, we will need to come to a point where it will be BAU. So the previous inventory that we hold helps us, or has helped us, and we've reached tariff agreements with most of our customers.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nishant Chauhan from GOG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm audible.
Yes.
Okay. Firstly, ma'am, what would be the tariff that we currently would be bearing for our exports to US? And what would be the revised tariffs post the recent change that has happened?
So, hi Nishant. Nishant, there were two tariffs that were levied. The first tariff, which was on steel and steel imports, was 25%. And the other one which was levied in April was 10%, which is a reciprocal tariff. These are that, and then this was increased to 26%, and then till the 9th of July, this was all put in abeyance saying we will all pay reciprocal tariffs of 10%. So right now, these are the tariffs that are levied on us. How the situation changes is not something that we know as of now, but we continue to work closely with our customers to ensure that you know, we can reach agreements at the earliest with them on how to ensure business is seamless for them and for us.
Right. And what were the tariffs that were levied on us before the entire change that happened?
I am not aware in 2025 if there were any other tariffs that were levied on Indian products.
No, like for our exports to US, did we pay any kind of for duty or tariffs that worldwide, or there was
normal customs duty that we paid,
Yeah, that's the percentage that I want to know.
So, you know, we can get back to you with that data. I don't have that data on the top of my head on what were the basic customs duty and the other customs duty that we were paying.
Okay, no problem, ma'am. And secondly, I mean, I was just referring to one of your key customers, John Deere's recent guidance that they've given, wherein they speak about the FY25 outlook to be down 30% for large ag and maybe 10 to 15% for small ag. So given in that backdrop, I mean, what gives us the confidence that our revenues will be still be able to post a high, mid to high, teen kind of growth in FY26?
Nishant, the way we monitor our business and the way we work with customers is with a complete understanding that existing business is not where our growth is really going to come from. Our growth really comes from new businesses, and that's where the focus has been, right? Now, if you look at, even when you look at John Deere's large ag business, they're very categorical in saying that the impact in the Americas is going to be far more prominent than in Europe. And to counter that, you know, we've actually got new business in Europe with a large tractor OEM. So I think our business strategy really is to keep winning new business and keep adding new business so that we continue to grow.
Okay. And is there any kind of order book number that we share or that we could probably, or you can share with us?
I think, Nishant, we've been saying since our quarter three call that we believe that the bottom of the cycle is over. We are seeing an uptrend come in. Quarter four results demonstrate that. We are saying that Q1 will be in line with Q4, and that for the full year of FY26, we are looking at mid-teen of top-line growth.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mithin Latia from Fractal Capital Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just to clarify on the tariff bit, so right now we do have a 10% tariff, right? So for quarter one that we are in right now, is there likely to be any impact on the P&L or the balance sheet, positive or negative?
Hi, Nathan. As I was mentioning, post-tariff, we will be P&L neutral for FY26.
No, specifically for quarter one, I am asking because this thing has come all of a sudden, right? So we would have been holding inventory in the US, which today for any new product brought in would be subjected to tariffs. And hence, in the normal course, we should be beneficiaries of holding inventory, right? So that is one aspect. The other is, I don't know how much of an ongoing, rolling inventory that you would have to bring into the US, where the customer would have already locked in a price and hence would not pay you for these tariffs. And that could have had a negative impact. So I was asking about the sum total of both the positive and the negative. Where would we stand in quarter one?
Miten, I think from a cash flow point of view, yes, there will be a slight increase in the working capital because there will be a delay in when we pay and when we collect. From a P&L standpoint, we will be neutral because whatever we pay and, you know, whatever agreements we've reached with our customers, we will be in a position where the P&L is not going to get negatively impacted. So, you know, if we are holding inventory, which is pre-tariff, then we also continue to hold inventory, which is post-tariff. So that will counter itself, but that will show more in working capital rather than on the P&L.
Yeah. So there won't be a gain there, right? So the customer is not paying for any materials. But how will we know that you're holding that material?
And your voice is not clear. You'll have to come closer to your speaker, please.
No, I was just double clarifying that there won't be a gain either, right?
We will be P&L neutral.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rahul Dhruv from Pegasus Growth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Ma'am, I had a question. You know, you mentioned about new business that you got over the last 12 months rolling period of around 190 crore, if I'm not wrong. And if I look at that and I look at the fact that the overall revenue declined by 175 crores, would I be right in assuming that the legacy business was basically fallen by around 360 odd crores last year?
So I think Rahul, hi. I think that's a fact of the market, right? So I think if you look at how our end industries have performed, we have seen agriculture, large agriculture industry down by, you know, in the high 20s, close to the 30%. Small ag close to 20% down. Construction close to 18% down. Right, and in all of that, we have actually, our top line has degrown only by 14 to 15%. So that actually tells you that yes, we followed trends with the legacy business, and then whatever new business we've got has been able to stem the degrowth.
Right. Okay. And so if we have a look at your expectations for FY26. You mentioned you'll be looking at mid-teens or high-teens growth. If I had to do the same math for next year, and you know, you said you have 200 crores of additional business, fresh business, which is probably flowing this year as well. So are we looking at actual growth from the legacy business in the coming year?
Yes, legacy business this year is growing. And it will grow in single digits, but you know, the growth really will come from the new business.
Great. I had one more question, and I hope I can jump in with that. So, you know, I think we are as exporters, or rather, you know, we are always very, very used to a depreciating currency, which is the rupee. And historically, we always had that gain coming through every year, which we kind of, you know, probably passes through the balance sheet to the P&L. There's some margin expansion, maybe not. I don't know. Now, I just want to know what would be the scenario. What would be the case of a situation where the rupee actually appreciates to say 81, 82 next year? Would you go and renegotiate the dollar price up with your customers?
Well, that's the nature of our business, right? I think how we handle our prices with our customers is with fair amount of transparency. So, you know, while you say that the rupee is a depreciating currency and it's a fact, I think what also happens is that there is an inflation that happens against it. So our conversations with customers are saying if there is the rupee depreciating, there is the inflation, there is a net off. And you know, that's how we look at life with customers. In case there is the rupee depreciating and then there is inflation, I think that's the discussion to have with customers. Given that we have long-standing relationships, customers know that we are transparent in the way we've always discussed these prices. Customers are also reasonable and understanding and approaching discussions when the rupee sort of goes when the rupee and the inflation cannot offset one another.
Good. So basically, what you're saying is that the conversation will go back to the rupee now appreciating, and because of which some of the costs reducing, the net of which would result in X percent increase in the dollar price. That's how it would go, right?
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you clearly, Rahul. Can you come again?
Yeah. So I'm just saying that the conversation would with the client going forward, just assume the rupee appreciates to say 81-82. Would be that you would go ahead and say, okay, fine, there is an appreciation in the currency because of which, and at the same time, our costs are reduced because of that. So the net impact of that would result in the dollar price of my product going up. That's how we would basically negotiate with the customer.
So I think let's look at it from the perspective that where we have agreements with customers, right, where they understand that in case the dollar is or the rupee is not depreciating and is appreciating, there will be a point at which we will need to sit across the table and understand what needs to come through to us, because ultimately if there is a loss that we have beyond a certain point that we can bear, it will only go against our investments for them, because we do invest capabilities, engineering, etc. for them. I think that happens. Customers are reasonable. Customers are not working with us for the first few years, right? We've been working with them for many, many years, and we've dealt with these cycles before. I think that's the conversation to have, saying when the rupee depreciated and the inflation net off was not good, we had a certain understanding and we looked at life in a certain way. Today, yardsticks have changed. This is the reality, and what we can mutually reasonably agree as doing business together.
Correct. Okay. Just one last one, if I can. When we talk of a 25% tariff on our products in the U.S., would it not make the local producers competitive enough to basically, kind of undercut us at some point in time?
Very, very, very interesting question, Rahul, and thank you for asking it. I think this is super interesting, and one would have actually thought that would be the case. But if you look at the steel prices, the base price, the input material cost, unfortunately, we can't compare the steel prices in India with the steel prices in the US. And if you see, steel prices in India went down in Q1 of calendar 25. They stabilized over, let's say, April and May. And steel prices in the U.S. kept going up in the first quarter, and now they have started coming down slightly. But the delta between the India steel price and the U.S. steel price still remains. Labor remains to be expensive in the U.S. compared to India. So net-net, what we are saying is that maybe some of these costs could be netted off with freight and with the tariffs, right? Where we see this math play out for us, we are actually in a very strong position, because then we can manufacture in our U.S. subsidiary and supply. But otherwise, India still remains the best cost country.
Perfect. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for all answering all the questions.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to one question per participant. The next question comes from the line of Sujal Jain from Wolfort PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had a question. In the event that industry conditions remain weak and we fall short of our mid-teen growth guidance, ending up closer to high single digit or low double digit, what is the potential margin expansion from current cycle low levels? Like, what levers do we have in place to drive margin recovery in such a scenario?
So I think Sujal, if you look at our again, I'll go back to the point that our gross margins remain intact, right? Our gross margins have not been disturbed year on year. I think what is really playing against is the operating deleverage. We've really been able to control that through FY25, which is from where we are saying we are recovering. So any recovery from here should be a positive to our EBITDA margins. And I think that's what we are hoping for.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Chandramouli Jagannathan, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, madam. It's a little bit of a hypothetical question. Assuming the industry which you are catering, agri and the construction, as a whole, in a financial 23 year, let's say 100, where Uniports clocked a top line of about 1350 crores. And now the industry may be around 70 or 80 from its peak 100. My question here is, assuming that the industry goes back to 100, maybe not this year, or financial year 27 or 28, will the Uniports top line can touch 1800, 2000 crores? Since you are talking about the new additions, added products and new order wins and things like that.
So, Mr. Chandramouli, I think, you know, I first want to give you a perspective of what's happened, 24 to 25. 24 to 25, as I was mentioning, across all the industry segments that we are in majority of them, we've performed better than the industry. And then we've actually grown 20% in our aftermarket industry. So the business that we are running is to be able to grow despite the market and to be able to diversify. And the way to diversify other than the aftermarket is also geographic diversification. Again, in FY26, the attempt is, like we are saying, the industry is not out of full pace, especially the large ag industry. And there again, the attempt is to continue winning new business so that we can grow. And that's how we are saying that, you know, we will grow in double digits. I think from here, if you've followed us, we've always said that barring these downturns that happen, which are a nature of our business, we typically tend to grow in the mid-teens. And if we continue to grow in these mid-teens and then there is the inorganic growth opportunity, yes, we definitely can reach the numbers that you're talking about. But I think I'm not giving a guidance. So forgive me, I'm not going to say that's the guidance that I'm giving for the next 3 to 5 years. I'm just trying to answer your hypothetical by saying, is that possible? Yes. But I think the more concrete answer to your question is that we have performed better than the industry in FY25. That's the attempt in FY26, and for the organic business, that is what we are going to continue to do.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Madhur Rati from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Ma'am, for the past 2 to 3 years, we've been seeing that a new order has been in the 200 to 300 crore range. And we have said that when the scales up, it can be a 10x opportunity as the addressable market increases. But that hasn't happened yet. So why is that, and when can we expect some results for these new order wins that we are getting? Because these are not converting from pilot stage to a supply to the OEM stage. And second question would be, on the aftermarket side, what was the revenue percentage that we got in FY25, and what is the new order wins or new product approvals can we expect over the next 12 months?
Madhur, aftermarket was 20% of our total revenue in FY25, and that's the growth that has happened. I think, sorry, if you could repeat the first part of the question, I forgot that.
Yeah. So it was more regarding the new order wins that we have highlighted. So if I go through your past two, since Unipart has been listed, it has been contributing the 200 to 300 crore range, and we have mentioned that once these opportunities scale up, it could be a 10x opportunity and increase our addressable market. But what we are seeing is for the past 2 to 3 years, these new orders are not converting post the pilot stage. They are just getting the repeat pilot orders again and again. So when can we expect an actual scale up of these orders going forward?
So Madhur, I think let me explain this or let me sort of look at life realistically and give a view and help you get a viewpoint into the business. So I think while the number of around 200 crores gives the impression that, you know, there has been no new business added and things are getting delayed, that may be true across segments and that may be true in certain parts. But see, for example, in the construction business space, we actually won new business where we did better than what we were anticipating when the business was awarded. The industry saw a downturn and hence, the legacy business fell. That business continued to do well, but then another segment, the large ag, has not taken off. So in that case, yes, there are pilots or there are even samples approved, or in certain cases, we even have ready to supply material, but we are holding on to that because the customer's intake has reduced or their projects have been deferred, right? So I think as long as the industry is in the downturn, that unfortunately remains something that we will need to bear with. But to be able to counter that is where we are saying, can we regionally diversify so that if one part of the globe is seeing weakness, can we make it up by supplying to other parts of the globe? And that's where we've always said that, you know, Asia Pacific, Japan are opportunities for us to grow in, and that's where the focus has been to grow the business. So I think that's where we are very confident that business will grow. We are seeing new wins in Asia Pacific and that, you know, that the growth opportunity, which is significantly larger than 200 crores, remains.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take the last question from the line of Praneet, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I was wondering about the offtake of new products. I understand we were able to get more business and there's a structural decline in our primary segments. Segments such as like PTO, hydraulic cylinders, or fabrication. I understand you gave some commentary about how they're still muted, but can you give me some more idea on how these sales are going to progress? Are we going to use our existing distribution channels with existing customers to sell these products? Or are we planning on developing new distribution channels to provide these products and grow our market that way? Because we are diversifying in terms of our geography and product, right? So how can we think about the new products and diversification in terms of product diversification beyond geographical diversification?
Hi, Praneet, the diversification that we are looking in the areas of fabrication, PTOs or hydraulics is to service the same customers and get a higher wallet share per vehicle with them, right? We know what we supply to them, we know what the adjacencies are and where we can actually get more business. So to that extent, the products may be new, but the customers remain the same. The customers remain the same, our distribution channels will remain the same. I think it's just about deepening our relationships with the customer's supply chain.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, Tanushree. So, dear all, we continue, as we close this, we continue to focus on our core strengths and, you know, build stronger business franchise by strategically partnering with our customers in their journey and success. Our focus and efforts are aligned towards achieving the targeted growth in coming years. For this, I would like to thank all of you for taking time out today for joining today's call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.